Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to show number 190, the first show of 2017 from Engage for Success. So I suppose the first thing to say, even though it is halfway through the month, is Happy New Year. We're going to be talking this week about strengthening organisational outcomes by continuous listening. And we have as our guests, I'm very pleased to welcome David Evans and Alistair Aitchison from M&X. I'll be introducing them to us in a moment. And I'm Jo Moffitt. I'm host for this afternoon's show, managing director and founder of Woodread. At Woodread, we believe in using brand and the power that brands have to engage audiences, but to use that to engage internally, to build high-performing cultures inside organisations. So, as I say, our topic today is strengthening organisational outcomes by continuous listening. And to bring it to life, we're going to be talking about a joint seminar that my guests David and Alistair from M&X facilitated with Engage for Success just before Christmas. It was hosted by and featured IBM Connexa's most recent research too. And I actually was very lucky to go along to that seminar, so I sort of heard it firsthand. But there's some really interesting content in the session, and we were keen to bring it to a wider audience. So very pleased to welcome today, as I say, my guests David Evans and Alistair Aitchison from M&X. So good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you with us. So perhaps we can start with you, David. First of all, perhaps you can just give us a little bit of an intro as to you. I think you've been a founding partner of M&X, haven't you?
Yes, well, both Alistair and I, and others, in fact, founded the company some 8 or 9 years ago now. And M&X engagement has always been at the heart of our interest and our action with activity with clients. But of course, engagement has moved on, and we've tracked, like many people, we've tracked Engage for Success for many years and been volunteers with them in different ways. And the catalyst for this event that we ran recently was one of the four enablers that David McLeod and Nita Clark have made clear to people, the idea or the notion of employee voice, that employee voice is central to the idea of strong engagement, of course, and in particular, a characteristic or a hallmark of high-performing companies. Okay. And we wanted to drill down on that topic with an audience, as we did the end of last year.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Because it was a couple of weeks before Christmas, I think, if I remember rightly, wasn't it? Early December.
That's right. Yeah.
So who attended the seminar? I think it took place at IBM's offices on the South Bank in London, didn't it? Who attended the seminar? Where did they come from?
Well, we E4S were very gracious in contacting almost all of their sort of membership, and we, of course, had other folk come along as well. Almost everybody was familiar with Engage for Success and their work, and the audience was principally folk from all sorts of civil service agencies. The Department of Work and Pensions, HMRC, were there. The court service was there in some measure. But there were some private firms there as well, Lloyds Banking, some people from technology groups. So really a very diverse range of professional companies and agencies, mostly of a larger size.
I do seem to remember actually being there. It was standing room only for the first half an hour or so, wasn't it? I mean, it really was pretty rammed.
We were very pleased. IBM were almost overwhelmed. It was a very good turnout, and it was interesting for us because, as you'll hear later today, almost everybody in the room, of course, knew about engagement, and almost every company, especially the government agencies, were very familiar with the annual survey. But there was a hunger in the room to listen and talk and give feedback, as they did, about what more can you do than listening just once a year. And that's what we drilled down on, really.
Right, hence the continuous listening concept that in the title. So, okay, great. So well attended. Obviously a great deal of interest in the concept of employee voice and trying to take it to a a richer level, really, I guess, in terms of doing it more frequently than just the once a year, and what you need to do to leverage the power of listening to employee voice. Perhaps, David, before we move on, you could just give us a little bit of an overview as to what actually went on at the seminar, what the sort of running order of it was, what sorts of things were you covering?
Well, we had a great update from Engage for Success, who reminded us all about their work and their research, which was, of course, that was a hallmark of the opening session. IBM then spoke for an hour or so. They had one of their most senior London-based consultants. IBM Connexus is not that well known. They've got some 20 years experience in the science and practice of employee surveys, and a great deal of industry research and benchmarking as well. But they've moved themselves into technology and systems for really helping firms capture the employee voice in a timely and effective fashion. So they spoke at length about that. And I think that was very new to people who were in the audience. They really hadn't realized how technology and data could be so effective at informing management teams especially.
And how IBM themselves have moved on
Yeah, that's right. Themselves very keen to help companies get away from just this one-time snapshot, you know, that so many firms are familiar with. So they can capture data in a very structured and, in fact, unstructured way and make real sense of all sorts of different kinds of feedback that's especially from more younger staff who are so keen to talk and share their ideas and views. The third presentation was a great one from a lady called Penny Wales, HR manager at Anglian Water Services, and we'll talk a bit more about her perhaps later on. But she shared her sort of 10-year journey as an HR professional at Anglian Water Services about where they've got to in the use of not just surveys, but also in terms of the effect of their work on behavior and so forth. And then the fourth voice on the day was very valuable indeed. It was the voice from the audience. You know, we really had a good session with all the delegates, a way of capturing their thoughts, their aspirations, their current practice and so on. What are the barriers to employee engagement, to employee voice techniques? So they were a very valuable and rich fourth voice on the day.
Yes, and I think we're going to hear some of the findings of that, or some of the things that they shared towards the end of the show, aren't we? So
yes, we are.
Okay, so excellent. Well, as I say, I was lucky enough to be there, but I think there's some really good learnings that came out of it that we want to share. But before we get into talking a little bit more specifically about some of the things that were covered, I just want to listen. I was there with my roving mic, and let's just have a listen to what a couple of the delegates thought during the course of the morning.
Okay.
So I'm here with David Tucker from Ordnance Survey and Alex McLeod from HM Courts and Tribunal Service. So David, you first of all, what was your sort of key takeaway from this morning's session so far?
I think it's the refreshing take on engagement that I've not heard before, and I'm finding out about this new voice system from IBM, which is very interesting. There's some intriguing points there that I can take back to my organisation and brief my HR department on.
And do you do something along those lines at the moment, or is it more sort of a more traditional, every once a year, once every couple of years sort of survey?
Okay, well we use the BHER system of a questionnaire that comes out every year, and then we have a 6-monthly pulse survey between it. So we use a periodic, we follow those up with we get the action from those surveys, and we take action to resolve any problems or encourage to take any good examples forward and promote them within the organisation.
Right, but you're looking to try and enact a more continuous conversation potentially.
I think it gives us some good ideas on how to do that.
Food for thought, yes,
thank you.
Absolutely. And Alex, how about you? How did you find this morning's session?
Similar. I think the continuous strand is a good thing. It's one we're perhaps not doing very well at the moment. I think one of the other things that I'll be taking back is that we we need to be careful that we're not, that we do ask the questions, even if the answers might be a bit scary, because that's how you get to something where you can act in a very positive way. Those could be the big wins, if you like, rather than the easy wins.
Being brave enough to ask the questions that you may perhaps not want to hear the answers
to. Exactly.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Well, thank you, Alex. Thank you, David.
And as you can hear from the soundtrack there, it was, my apologies for the background noise, but as we said at the beginning, it was a bit of a rammed session. There was an awful lot of people there, and there was a lot of chat and a lot of interest and conversation going on in the background. But I think it was useful to hear what Alex and David had to say there. And as you say, David, after that, we then heard from Penny Wells, didn't we? So I wonder if you can share for our listeners a little bit about what she had to say, which, as you say, she's been working on this for 10 years.
That's right, yeah. And in the last few years, things have changed enormously. I think to quote her, they had the annual survey, and I've got a quote here from her. Then they had a dog and pony show around the region to share the results many months later. And that was the extent of their engagement feedback, really. But there was a pivotal moment when the company had to put into practice one of the key tenets of David McLeod's point of view, that, you know, that its people, the staff, aren't the problem. They're rather central to the solution. And if they started listening more, they could really help this key strategic problem. And the problem was that Anglian Water were being asked by government to support 1 more million dwellings with water in their territory, at the same time move from the public sector to a private enterprise. So tremendous change going on. And under Penny's leadership, they began to introduce a range of methods, surveys, pulse methods, and so forth, to just keep a continuous conversation going with staff, to capture ideas, think about innovation, do things differently, and just, you know, just really connect with the staff on a continuous basis. And that's really helped the company.
Right, right. Excellent. Okay. And what were some of the things that what were some of the things they heard from employees about, you know, when they wanted to tap into that employee voice? What were employees, were there some particular things that employees were saying they wanted?
There were two, actually, not from the entire company, but there were two divisions of the company who gave very clear message. One was from the staff, please involve us in decisions that affect my work, given the background of change. And number two, you know, help me through my manager, help me through the changes that are coming down the line. So two big things. And that the company responded to that in a variety of ways.
Rightio. Okay, so shall we listen to Penny? I think we've got a short clip from her telling us how they actually went about involving employees in those kinds of conversations and decisions which affected their jobs, and how, of course, as you say, that actually meant that managers had to be given some skills that they previously hadn't had. To enable them to do that. That's right.
Yes.
So, shall we hear from Penny as to how that took place?
Okay.
We've done a number of things, but the two that really stick out in my mind is, firstly, we've given our managers, we're starting a leadership program for our managers. Actually, a number of them have been through in the senior leadership team already, and we're about to start with our sort of middle management tier, the people that directly manage teams of technicians and laboratory scientists, etc. And we're starting a leadership program for them, and that's all about change, helping people have holistic conversations, so they're sort of thinking about things like well-being, the tasks that people are doing, how engaged they are, behaviours, all of those things rather than just the task.
Okay, and I think that one of the other things that it was interesting that Penny wanted to stress as well was that this was never just this was never just sort of her driving this and making it happen. It was very much a combined effort, wasn't it, David?
Yes, it was. I think staff in general took real ownership in this, got involved in the whole thing, got invested in the whole program, and indeed helped everyone to design the program somewhat. And they've since measured engagement, which wasn't prime purpose. The engagement scores of this cohort of people had jumped 15 points. They're very, very happy with that aspect as well. But more particularly, it was these more profound changes in leadership behavior, much stronger two-way communication between managers and their groups, and getting through this big change that they were going through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there was a noticeable sharp intake of breath in the room when she talked about that 15% increase, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think a degree of envy, probably.
Absolutely. But as I say, Penny was very, very keen to stress that this isn't something that can just be done by an HR manager alone. It can't just be done by the leadership team alone. It very much is a team effort. And I just want to share, finally, a little bit of Penny talking about how they approach that.
So Penny, just sort of picking up on what you've been talking about, I think from what you were saying, this has been a really collaborative approach. So it's not just been employee voice, i.e. having a continuous conversation, but actually employee participation and involvement. So tell me a little bit more about how that panned out.
Sure. So I'm conscious I've used the word we quite a lot, and as I've spoken, the people that I mean by that often are the front-facing employees, but also we have a number of employee engagement champions that work across our business units. And the bright idea for things like task and finish groups and the running and implementation of those came from those individuals. So they're absolutely involved and participate throughout that process. So, I mean, I think the thing that underpins employee voice, certainly for me from the whole Engage for Success perspective, is that employee voice is actually recognising that very often the people at the front line, the people who are doing the job on a day-to-day basis, are the people who've got the ideas,
absolutely.
They've got the innovation, and they've got the solutions, if only organisations would take the time to ask them and listen to them and act.
So, absolutely. Yeah. So what we've done really is provide them, we've enabled them, we've given them that opportunity to get involved and to do that. And as I say, it's worked really, really well.
Great.
Yeah, so worked really, really well with a 15% to be envied increase in engagement scores.
May I just add one thing? I think it's important because Penny had mentioned this in her presentation. It was just 2 years ago that they had switched to using this relatively new IBM technology, and I think that's helped them a lot to capture a lot more data a lot more reliably and put it into action.
Right. That sounded very, excuse that strange noise in the background there. It sounded like you've been visited by a cow or something, David.
not me, sir.
the joys of technology, eh? Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. So Penny followed on the chat from IBM talking about how they use the process. Penny then shared her case study, which was a really interesting and valuable one. And then I think, Alistair, you took over the reins, didn't you, and started to facilitate some thoughts from the wider audience, which was probably quite a challenge, as there was an awful lot of people there. So can you tell us a little bit about what happened next after Penny had done her bit?
Sure, yeah, thanks, Jo. We were very pleasantly surprised. On the day, we had over 45 participants in the room. But with that comes the challenge of trying to bring together what people were gaining from the day, learn from that and share some of that as well. So we facilitated a session, as we normally do in our work, to help them think about some key next steps and how they would take what had been shared and what they were learning from the day and move that forward. The first question that we asked was, what is your vision for employee voice in your organization? And it was interesting, the breadth of responses to that. We had asked previously, David asked a question early on about how many of them were doing some form of continuous listening today, and it was very clear that most were doing an annual survey, but very few were doing anything more than that. I think there was maybe one or two hands that went up that were doing pulse or polling surveys on a more regular basis. So we wanted to get a sense as to how people were going to take that forward. And a couple of responses were interesting. We actually produced an infographic from the data that we collected on the day. And we actually had, I think it was about 38 responses to the cards that we distributed on the day as part of this exercise. And on that vision question, what is the vision for employee voice in your organization? Quite a lot, 37% said that they wanted just to get people more involved and give them opportunities for their voice to be heard. Mm-hmm. An additional 34% said that they wanted to ensure that the information that's being gathered was quicker translated into action by the organization. And that was one of the concerns, is the time that it takes the organization to gather that data, analyze it, and then turn that into action. And they recognize mm-hmm. the importance to quicken that process. And then right. the final area here was on the strategic focus. I think a lot recognized that often the employee survey is somewhat disconnected to the strategic decisions that are being made in the organization. And there's mm-hmm. a need to try and bring those two things together and to help senior leadership recognize the value in bringing the employee voice into the decision-making process.
Right,
so that, was the first question that we asked.
Because that was one of the main themes of Patrick from IBM, wasn't it? That this continuous listening has to be integrated with business strategy and business objectives.
And it still is a major challenge for organizations where it's seen as something the HR function does, and it mm-hmm. often ticks the box and it makes us feel good that, great, we're listening. But really the real value in listening is taking that data set, analyzing it, and that's where IBM have got a very powerful set of tools that come out of their Watson cognitive tool set that's mm-hmm. called Talent Insights. And that gives some great indications, particularly when you're in a large organization and you're gathering lots of data. Yes, we have the quantitative data, but the qualitative data can give us some great insights about innovation that's taking place in the marketplace, changes that are taking place there. And it's how we very quickly analyze that and bring that into this decision-making process that will really make the difference for organizations who are trying to establish competitive advantage from tapping into the voice of their employees.
Yes, yes. And what were the other sort of top lines, some other key top lines from that feedback session that you want to share, Alistair?
Yeah, so the second question we asked was, how will this impact your organization?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot talked about, 52% talked about soft measures, so well-being, motivation, better employee engagement, better communications, higher levels of trust, openness, better morale within the organization. Only mm-hmm. 20% talked about harder measures, productivity, customer service, reducing turnover, reducing absenteeism, which are more the physical measures, particularly that appeal to the CEO, the CFO. And again, that's a key shift that we need to make to get their attention by using more of the hard measures in there.
Mm. Do you think, Alistair, that they were saying that only a small proportion felt that it would impact their organisation in some of those harder KPI ways because they, was it that they didn't think it would impact those things, or was it that they didn't think they would be able to measure the impact on those things?
I think the latter rather than the former. Uh-huh. And I think one of our challenges as HR professionals is to be able to gain the attention of senior executives more effectively. And mm-hmm. these are the types of measures and metrics that we need to bring into our dialogue that allows mm-hmm. us to be seen to be more strategic rather than being a secondary part of the organization.
Yes, yes. So that's really the hard evidence that's needed, isn't mm-hmm. it? And they've got to find some way to actually be able to point at that.
The third question that we asked was an interesting one. It was, what barriers might you encounter?
Uh-huh.
And there were two key things there. One was perceived attitudes towards, can this really make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
But the second one, and I think this came perhaps more from the public sector than from the private sector, was the potential barriers of senior leadership. And how do we get middle managers and senior leaders to really understand the value the potential that this has to an organization. And again, I think that comes into talking and using the right metrics in our discussion. And then our final question was about what actions are they going to take, because we wanted everybody to come away with one or two things that they were going to do as a result of participation on the day, that
right.
they could go out and engage the staff. And so the responses to that was influence and involve staff. And that was when we, so that the next step was to do some smaller workshops. And we just had one last week where David and I met with a couple of departments, Department of Work and Pensions and HMRC, and they shared some of the things that they'd taken away, just small things that they started to implement into their organizations. And already we're starting to see some significant positive results from
I'd like to hear a little bit more about that actually in a moment, because I think one of the things that I know a chap I was talking to there felt was sometimes a barrier as well was this the fact that it's hard to sometimes maintain the impetus, you know. It's kind of difficult to keep the energy levels up, to keep things going, and that good intentions can sometimes fall by the wayside. So let's just, before we go into sort of, you know, what you've done subsequently and some of those idea sharing, which has gone on, I think it might be good just to hear from Richard Batterham, who, again, was one of our delegates at the morning session.
Here I am with Richard Batterham from HMRC. So how did you find that first session this morning?
Very, very, very interesting.
Yes.
You know, the two presentations were very informative. Quite challenging in terms of thinking where we are at as an organisation, and lots of things I've scribbled down to take away with me.
Right, so in terms of sort of this key concept of continuous conversation, is that something that is practically deliverable by you at the moment, or would it be something that you might look to do in the future?
I think it is in a more sort of local level. I work in a part of HMRC that a small directorate, the particular business that I'm in has got about 100 people, and we have a sort of an own to act approach, which is trying to sort of engage on a continuous basis, and it used sort of local surveys and sort of follow up channels to try and engage with our people, but some success, but it's about sort of maintaining the impetus in relation to that. That's always tricky.
So I think that kind of captured some of the barriers there for you, didn't it, really, Alistair? And you were saying you've actually some work that's gone on subsequent to the seminar has begun to try and share ideas about that. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that before we end the show?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Jo. Our intent is to, in keeping with the philosophy of Engage for Success, is to help people share good practice and ideas, and to take ideas and implement, and then to share those results. And that's exactly what we did last week, where we had two government departments, individual contributors within there, one a manager, one actually working down at a ground level, but they had volunteered to be the representative for employee engagement within their organization. And they had just taken some simple things away from the session and started to implement those. And what was lovely was that as they shared with each other, they were able to spark ideas, and they came away saying, oh, we'll definitely keep in contact as we progress on this journey together as well.
Okay. Well, are those ideas that you can share? Or are those ideas you can share, or
are they not? There was one that I spoke, and it was on a weekly basis to put a small note into the wage packets of the employees in a small department, just a pilot at this point in time. Asking them for what had gone well that week, what had not gone so well, and what might they do the following week to hopefully engage a little bit better. And from that, those were fed up to the manager. And it was already having a significant impact on the manager's perspective as to what was taking place within the department. The other individual that was on that workshop liked that idea and said, oh, I'm going to experiment with that as well and see how we get on.
Going to try and do it as well. So excellent. So good start then in terms of ideas and beginning to sort of maintain that impetus. And just a brief overview then as to what we can look forward to in the future, because obviously that's quite a successful seminar. What's happening next?
Yeah, so based on this success, we actually had double the amount of people who registered for the event than actually were able to participate on the day. So we will run another event in the South Bank in London. We also will take this on a roadshow. We intend to do one up in the Midlands and one up in Scotland. And then we'll continue on with these smaller workshops as well, just helping individual organizations to come in and to talk in a little bit more detail, deeper dive, talk about the particular situation that they've got and helping them to progress those ideas forward.
Excellent. And we're right up against it now in terms of time. How can people find out more about those future events?
So they will be publicised on the Engage for Success website. We're just right now of putting those dates in place. So watch
Excellent.
That space.
Watch that space. Lovely. Alistair Aitchison, David Evans, thank you both very much for joining us this afternoon. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.